Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means go out into the deep. A one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
Hello, hello. Welcome, everyone. I'm Rita Hauk-Lane, your host for the next hour. So I'm so happy to be here with you. So please join me as we seek a deeper and closer relationship with Jesus Christ. May the Lord richly bless our time together, and our dearest Mother Mary intercede for us with her powerful motherly care and intercessory power. I am broadcasting remotely, as I am away for Thanksgiving. I hope that you can hear me and understand me. Everything seemed fine before, but, you know, technology acts up on me a lot of times. But I'm just thrilled to be away for a little while, and it's nothing like getting away to a beautiful place where, like right now, I'm looking at the sun with the clouds and the trees, and there's a little creek of water here with fish jumping, and it just soothes my soul. Some people probably bored to death with that, but not me. I love it. I learned as a child to appreciate nature and that God has given that to us as a real, to, you know, encourage us and give us joy every day. You can always find something beautiful to look at every day. So I'm grateful for that. Anyway, I don't know what you all have been up to lately. I know you're getting ready for the holidays, and like me, but I went night before last, we went to go see the new movie Wicked for Good. I saw the first Wicked. I went with a friend a couple of years ago when it first came out, and I wasn't interested in going, but she wanted somebody to go with her, and I enjoy her company, so we went together, and I was actually quite shocked at how much I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed that movie, and And the Wicked for Good, all that, I enjoyed that immensely too. But you really, you know, go and see it, even if you haven't seen the first one. But try to see the first one first, you know, before you go, I should say, because it really helps you to understand little nuances in the Wicked for Good. But there were two statements in the movie that really touched my heart. I got all choked up a couple of times, during the movie, and it really stayed with me. So I wanted to share with you what they were and why. So a little bit of a spoiler alert. I don't think I'm giving away too much information if you haven't seen it, but the one of the things that was said was by Fierro. He said to Elphaba that he said, it's a different way of seeing. It's a different way of seeing. And he said that to Elphaba when she couldn't believe that he loved her. And because she's green and very different from other people, was never accepted in society, really tormented all of her life and ostracized, rejected because of how she looked mostly. But he fell in love with her, and he said to her, after she pointed out all of the reasons why he shouldn't be loving her, and he said to her, it's a different way of seeing. And that just broke my heart that he even had to say that to her. Even though it was a movie, these things really happen in life. But at the same time, it was such a noble, wonderful thing to say to someone that had not been loved properly in her life. And I thought about us as Christians, Catholic Christians, about how the Lord has said that he, you know, when we become Christian and when we're baptized and the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us, this is God himself living within us. And how much that affects us is really up to us. If we are open to that Spirit teaching us, transforming us, helping us to be more loving, helping us to notice what needs to be done in the world that we can do, what the value and beauty of every person is. It's just such a great, wonderful blessing that God wants us to be like him. But we have to cooperate. We have to listen to that still, small voice. We have to say, Lord, I want to look at the Elphabas of the world like Fierro did and like you do. Jesus hung out with and deeply loved the Elphabas of the world and still does. There's no one too ugly, no one too different, no one too rebellious, no one that he doesn't love with love and sees them in a different way. So I pray, especially, it's funny how a movie like that can really touch your heart. And so I've been praying that the Lord will give me his eyes to see, his ears to hear, and his heart to love with. More so since I saw that movie. I don't want anyone to feel the way Elphaba did in that movie her whole life. The pain is too tough for a lot of people in the world today. The young people of the world today, some of them, they don't feel like anybody really cares for them. It's not true, but they might feel that way. So if I can be a friend to them or just give them something to encourage them, that's what I want to do. Because I know Jesus would do it himself. I wanted to share with you a couple of Bible verses. In Proverbs 20, King David says, "The Lord has given us eyes to see and ears to listen with." This is a gift that the Lord gives. It's a gift that he gives to us. In Ezekiel, he says, God, the Father says, "I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." In other words, a soft, open, loving heart. Heart of stone is cold, rejects people, rejects God, rejects good. This heart of stone is immovable. But a heart of flesh, as he's referring to here in Ezekiel, the heart that's soft and open and able to receive his love first, and then to love others through that love. It's a remarkable thing that he wants to use us to love others for him. And so he says, it keeps on going, he says, I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you so that you can walk in my statutes, observe my ordinances, and keep them. He's telling us here, and Jesus said similar words, but he's telling us here that when we are open to him and invite him in, he wants to be with us. And if we give him permission to be with us and to be our Father and our Savior, he comes and he wraps his arms around us and gives us big hearts and a lot of love to share with the world. The more love you give away, the more you will receive. If you don't necessarily see it in your fellow man, you will definitely see it from God. But nonetheless, we keep on loving because we love him. He loved us first, so we love because he loved us. And with his grace, we can do all things. But he only asks us, as Mother Teresa used to say, to do small things with great love. So another verse is in Matthew, Jesus says, "Gross is the heart of this people. They will hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and be converted, and I heal them." In other words, he's complaining that the people, they aren't listening. Their ears are closed. They've closed their eyes so where they cannot see him working in their everyday lives. And in that case, he was right in front of them. They just would not believe. They rejected what their eyes told them. And it said, you know, they close their ears, they close their eyes because if they don't, they may see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, be converted, and I will heal them. I will heal them. I want to share something. I've shared this with you before, but I want to share it again because it was a profound moment in my life. I was on a vacation for a few days in Bethany Beach in Delaware with some of my dearest friends. And we were down on the beach like most people, and we were hanging out, and it was a beautiful day. And I always spend extra time praying when I'm away anywhere, because I have more quiet time. So that's what I was doing when I was down there. But we're on the beach, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I wasn't reading a book. I wasn't praying. I was just enjoying being there with my friends. And all of a sudden, the Lord gave me a gift. And I always know from all the years I've been in ministry that these gifts are not for me. I benefit from them, of course. But they're for you. They're for the people that I serve. Out of love from my heart, give them to me so I can share them with you. So I was on the beach, and out of the blue, all of a sudden I had different eyes. It was a different way of seeing, the movie says. Every person I put my eyes on, I felt and saw in my heart how God, or at least to the best of my ability, God was looking at them. He wasn't looking at them with any judgment. He was looking at them with love and with an idea of their potential. He could see their potential. I saw through everything that was on the exterior to their inmost being, where the beauty of every person dwells and the potential of every person dwells. And it was the most beautiful thing. It was almost like I was looking at saints or angels all over the beach, because every single person, including my friends, every single person, children, older people, younger people, people laughing, people crying, every single person, I could see the beauty and potential in them, and I understood God's massive love and hope for us. And I have wanted that back ever since. Oh, that we could look at people like that, every person in our lives. What beauty, how amazing every single person is. And in their own way, hidden behind the exterior, in their hearts, in your heart, he sees you with the clarity that no one else can, with the beauty and love and radiance that's hidden within you that you want to share with others and that he can enhance and grow in you. And I just ask you, if you pray, prayer is very powerful. It releases extraordinary grace from God on the world, on you, on your problems, on your joys, everything. Prayer is the most powerful thing you can do. And so pray for open eyes. Pray for open ears. Pray for an open heart where you can experience him first in his love. Lord, I let you love me. Thank you that you love me. Show me that you love me. Help me to know you and to trust you. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. That's what the scriptures say. And then look around you and let him show you the beauty in other people. Look past the veneer of what they're wearing, or whether they're clean or dirty, or they're mean and nasty. And look, try, ask the Lord to give you his heart so that he can see them, that you can see them in a different way, like in the movie. It's a different way of seeing. He has promised us that we will have a different way of seeing if we trust him and we follow him. It's real, folks. If you're listening and you don't believe in God or you don't trust Jesus Christ, please give him a chance. He is real. He is God. He is not a politician or human being that will let you down. He has loved you first before anyone or anything else. And he stays with you forever. Through the thick and the thin, he will not abandon you. People can hurt you, disappoint you, abandon you, and love you. But nothing compares to him. Nothing. Nothing. So anyway, I'll go move on here to the next thing that was said in the movie, and I'm talking about Wicked for Good. There was a song. It was stated first, but then it turned into a song. Elphaba and Galinda sing this to each other. They're looking back over their lives as friends, and because Galinda, she didn't look at Elphaba as a green, weirdo outcast. She got to know her, she became friends with her, and she loved her as a friend, and Elphaba loved Galinda as a friend. But they sang this song, and in there was, "I know I'm who I am today because I knew you. I know I am who I am today because I knew you and know you." Think about that. I got all choked up because in reality, every single one of us is who we are today because of the people that have been in our lives. Our culture wants us to cancel anybody that we have a disagreement with. Cancel anyone who has disappointed us. No. We are who we are today because of all of the good, the bad, the evil, and the holy that's been in our lives, the people that have been in our lives, the ones who've troubled us or challenged us, have made us stronger in many ways. The ones who have loved us and yet disappointed us have still helped make us who we are today. We are the sum of all of those people that we have come across in life. And God can, if we let Him, turn all of those relationships and times to good, to forge us into strong and loving and caring people who understand that this is not heaven. There's no such thing as people who are perfect. It's amazing. I heard that and it was like, no one's perfect. We aren't perfect. We hurt people. We abandon people, and we don't even know it half the time. We love people, and we try to do our best, but we're not perfect. What if everyone said to us, hey, you're not perfect. I don't want you in my life anymore. What kind of world is that going to be? What kind of world is that going to be? So when I look at it from, that statement, I know who I am today because I knew you, I know you, I have known you, and had you in my life. When we cancel people in our lives, especially those nearest and dear to us, especially them, friends, family, coworkers, we are in a way canceling ourselves. Believe it or not, in a way, we are canceling ourselves because we are made up of all those experiences that we've had with those people. If you are someone who has canceled someone because you don't agree with them or they vote differently than you, then please pray for them and pray for yourself. That you and they will find ways to heal the things that have happened to separate you. Do not allow canceling to live in your life. Christians, by the grace of God, we should be the most willing to find ways to repair relationships. We should be the better ones. We should be the one, as Mother Teresa used to say, that seeks peace between ourselves and others, helps healing to happen in relationships, encourages others who might be angry with God or don't know what to think or believe, to trust Him, to get to know Him. So, what a absolutely, we all have wounds that other people have inflicted on us. Emotional, spiritual, physical wounds. We all have them. There's not a person that hasn't been wounded by another person. It's not real. We all have. Let's pray. If those wounds are still really, really affecting our lives, let's pray to the Lord to heal us and to give us a new heart, a fresh, hopeful future. And He will. He will. If the things that you experience you think are hopeless, there's no hope at all, God can't heal me, I'm filled with too much hate, I've sinned too much, I have just not been able to be who I know He should want me to be. I've disappointed people in my life. I've not been a good person or I've been a really good person, I've been perfect, but not really. Ask him to heal you. Ask him to show you where the wounds are. And ask him to heal you from those wounds and give you a fresh start. And then step out in faith and live that. What a wonderful world it would be if we could reject the lies of the world or the eyes of the world that only see what they want to see or judge the actions, words, and looks of others without caring one bit about their hearts. That's not what we're supposed to be. Jesus never let how somebody look or their wickedness or anything stop him from loving and looking for all the good in every person, even the ones he got angry with, even the ones he was disappointed with. He knew that if they would open themselves to him, their lives would be rich, and so would everybody around you. So I'm going to share another scripture before my break. It's from Samuel, and it says, God, 1 Samuel, God does not see as mortals do who see the apparent. The Lord looks into the heart. In other words, we mortals, human beings, look on the outside of people. What they're doing, what they're saying, what they're wearing, whether they're rich or they're poor, what they're driving, house they live in, what school they go to, all that sort of thing. We look at that. But God himself says, I look into the heart of those people. You judge this way, I judge their hearts. Where is their heart? How are their hearts? How is your heart, my friends? How is your heart? Okay, I have to take a break in a minute, but I thank you for joining me in this last half hour, and I pray you'll be able to stick with me for another half hour. I have more to share with you about, you know, this time of year and the beauty of it and all of that. So anyway, I have to go. I'll be back, though. Hang in there with me. God bless you.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Welcome back. I'm Rita Haddock-Lane, and this is In His Sign Catholic Network. I've got feedback in my headphones, so it's kind of weird. But anyway, I'm broadcasting remotely. And the last half hour, I was sharing with you some of the things that I enjoyed from the new Wicked for Good movie. The two statements in it that really touched my heart was the different way of seeing. Piero says that to Elphaba because he's in love with her and she can't understand how he could love her. The different way of seeing, maybe the different way of seeing. And then the other was, I know I'm who I am today because I know you. I knew you. You have been in my life. And just really beautiful. I got really choked up a couple of times. Very powerful movie in a lot of ways. A lot of messages in it. I can't wait. I'm going to rewatch the first one and watch this one again because I have a feeling that there's a lot more riches in the second one. than I may have caught, because there was a lot going on. Anyway, for this half hour, because we're coming up to Thanksgiving, I would like to encourage you to take a little time, in the busyness to be grateful. In the scriptures, the Lord says, that, and I told you this in the last half hour, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, a soft, open heart. I will put my spirit within you so you may walk in my statutes, observe my ordinances, and keep them. Well, part of that new heart and spirit that we have already been given if we are baptized, if we are believers and been baptized, even if we're lukewarm, hardly practicing our faith at all, we have already been given a new heart and spirit. And what we do with it is up to us. So one of the things this new heart and spirit does is helps us see more clearly our blessings, especially the ones that we haven't paid much attention to before, or maybe didn't even notice. Open my eyes, Lord, that I can see every day all of the many, many blessings in my life and in the world. The world these days just wants to focus so much on everything that is negative. They're forgetting the beauty of the world. The beauty of the person next to you, the beauty of nature, which is astonishingly beautiful, the beauty of faith, church, of poor, all of the wonderful things that we can be thankful for in this life. Can you speak? Yeah, let's be thankful for that. Can you walk? Yes, might be difficult. But thank you for that. You know, I can't walk. What can I be thankful for? You can be thankful that God hears your prayers. You can pray all the more for those, for the conditions of the world and for the people in your life. The Lord really listens to the prayers of the sick and suffering. Really, really listens. You know why? Because to pray for someone else when you are so desperate is a sacrifice. A sacrifice. Because it's not easy to do. We get so wrapped up in ourselves and our sorrow, our pain, our physical inabilities, etc., that's a natural thing. You shouldn't wallow in it. But it's hard to be. It's hard to think of others when we suffer, when we're suffering. But when we make an effort to pray for other people, when we are suffering, the Lord takes that and abundant graces come from that. Abundant graces come from that. So if you are challenged in any way, mind, body, and soul, Pray for others. Pray for others. That is one powerful thing you can do. But anyway, all through Bible scriptures, all through the whole Bible, we are encouraged to be grateful and thankful. It's everywhere in scripture. And, you know, the Lord gives us, he asks us to do things because it's good for us. He asks us to do things because they're good for us. Okay? I want to share with you, I'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. A few days ago, excuse me, it was a little over a week ago, I think. But I'm not sure about that. During Mass, it was the story of the 10 lepers. Jesus encountered 10 lepers on the road. And he encountered them and interacted with them. And he didn't say, "You are healed." He said, "Go show yourself to the priest." Okay? And they turned around, they're walking away, and they might have even been a little disappointed because they wanted him to heal them, and he didn't say, "You're healed," so they didn't realize they were healed. But eventually they realized that they were healed. Jesus had healed them and was sending them to the priest to show themselves to the priest. And so they understood what he meant by that. But one of them, who wasn't Jewish, a Samaritan, realized and ran all the way back to Jesus to thank him. Thank him. So this story is a powerful example of gratitude. Jesus said, "We're not 10 healed and only you came back to thank me." He's just like us, when we do something special for someone, you know, it's nice. It's not about the thank you back. It's about the interaction and relationship that happens because of both of you connecting as a result of that. And that's what Jesus was talking about. The others were so used to thinking about themselves as lepers, so used to feeling sorry for themselves, and rightly so. So self-focused that they forgot where the healing came from. Or they didn't think to acknowledge that. They were still wrapped up in themselves. "Oh, I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. Let's go. Let's go." Instead of, "I'm healed. Oh my gosh. Wow, what a wonderful miracle. I've got to go back and thank him." You know? So it's a powerful example of gratitude. Okay? So it's very important for us to express gratitude for the blessings and graces we receive. And the story challenges us to reflect on how often we take things for granted and overlook our blessings, focusing too much on what's wrong in the world, what's wrong in life, what's wrong in the church, what's wrong in politics, what's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong. We become blind to what's good and blind to the joy that we really should have in our lives because we're looking in the wrong place, and the Lord has blessed us every day. And Scripture, St. Paul says, he has blessed us in Jesus Christ with every spiritual blessing in heaven. Every spiritual blessing in the heaven. So, anyway, the Samaritan man was healed of his physical illness. He was healed of his social, being a social outcast. And he experienced a spiritual and physical wholeness by his encounter with Jesus. So that is what he wants to do for us. He wants us to have eyes to see the beauty, have eyes to see what he has done for us. If it's only to thank him for a magnificent sunset. Every day is full of blessings. And we can say, thank you, Lord, for so many things. And it releases graces on the world and on us. Another story I wanted to share with you. It was in today's reading at the at Mass. Daniel, part of it. It was the story of Daniel and how, you know, he was captured with, I think it was three of his friends, and they were imprisoned and were basically forced to learn a new language, to be taught wisdom, understanding, and stuff according to their captors, and to be servants in the king's kingdom. And the king wanted these special men from all walks of life who were in this training program to be fed and fed with choice food and wine and basically pampered and that sort of thing. But the things that the king wanted the Jewish men to eat were not allowed by God. They were unclean things, and to eat them would have been dishonoring God. So Daniel and his companions refused, told the guard, please, just feed us vegetables and drink water, vegetables and water, and so we don't have to offend our God. And the guard said, oh, if the king will have my head, basically, paraphrased by me, if he sees that you're all weak and not strong because you're not eating right, he'll blame me and put me to death. And they said, well, give us a 10-day trial. And because Daniel and they knew that if they lived according to God's precepts, that God would protect them and strengthen them. It's not just about what we do. God has a part in that. So obedience brings God to us, just like he did to Daniel and his companions. They were stronger than the others who were eating what the king gave them. So the guard continued to feed them their vegetables and water, and they ended up being really, really blessed and very special in the kingdom. But at one point, the king wanted everyone in the kingdom to worship his gods and to do his thing and pray only to his gods, and anybody that did otherwise would be put to death. So, and of course, Daniel and his companions would not pray to a false god. They just would not do that. And so there was a lot of friction between the king and Daniel and those people. Daniel and his men and the men stood up and stood against the king, and they prayed a prayer of thanksgiving. It was not an act of defiance against the king. It was not driven by rebellion. It was driven by unwavering faith and thankfulness to God for his faithfulness and provision. So they were praying to God, not in rebellion or defiance. They were praying to God in thanksgiving. No insult intended to the king, but they couldn't do what the king asked. So in the midst of this adversity, Daniel did not focus on his troubles, but instead he lifted up praise and thanksgiving to God regardless. And his prayer and his actions serve our show us that true gratitude transcends external circumstances, the things that are going on. Bad things can be happening in our lives, yet we can still thank God. Still thank God for all of the other good things. And in hope for the future, a future lived with God is filled with hope. A future lived without God is hopeless. Okay? So it stems from a deep-rooted trust in Him to praise and thank Him even when things aren't going. This little note says, knowing that our ultimate hope lies in Him who is worthy of praise. So, sorry, I'm trying to find, here are the scriptures. Gratitude. One of my favorite talk show hosts used to say all the time, only grateful people can be happy. And I believe that with all of my heart. Only grateful people can be happy. If we're not seeing what's worth being grateful for in life, then we're not going to be happy. We're going to dwell on all of the negative, all the bad news we hear, all the people that we can't stand, all of that. So, anyway, St. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know, it's funny. I've heard that my whole life. And there have been times in my life when I've done that, and it has been helpful. But most recently, a very dear friend of mine had to undergo heart valve replacement surgery. And she came through the surgery really well. But then she started having some problems. And they thought that she was going to need a second surgery at one point. And that was unsettling. It was worrisome. You know, we had been praying for her and everything was going well, but, you know, have another surgery on top of it. It involved the heart, a different surgery involving the heart was worrisome. But I remember this verse, in all circumstances, give thanks to the Lord. So I said to the Lord, you know, if she has to have this a second surgery, I'm thanking you in advance because there has to be a good reason for it. And that good reason will actually end up being better for her in the end. So that's the way I looked at it. It gave me a fresh hope, you know. And I mean, obviously, there's no guarantees when you're working on the heart. But she's a woman of faith. I have no fear for her if she goes home to the Lord. But we need her here. We want her to be here for us and for her family and her twin sister. So we were praying for that. And I really, really, really felt that if the Lord let her need to have another surgery, that it was going to be for her good. I really felt that. As it turned out, she didn't have to. So, of course, we thanked for that. But so I thought of that, give thanks in all circumstances, because if you're in a tough place and you thank God for what He has done, what He is doing, and what He will do, in all of this, it releases super graces, because it's an act of faith, even when you don't feel it. It's an offering. It's an offering from your heart of faith to the Lord. He loves that. another thing he says in Philippians, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Don't be anxious about anything. In every situation, pray and ask and thank and present those requests to God. Yes. Excuse me, I have to take a sip of water. So, and before I have to go, I have to share something with you that I hope will encourage you, especially if you're a person of science. Okay? This is an article. Oh, isn't it weird? It was from September 11, 2024. But several evenings a week, I'm going to read part of it to you. It's written by Maureen Salomon. Several evenings a week, as Tyler Vanderveel gathers around the dinner table with his wife and two young kids, the family deliberately pauses during the meal to do something simple but profound. Each member shares several things for which they are grateful, an act that Vanderveel, co-director of initiatives on health, spirituality, and religion at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health, feels changes his family dynamic for the better. So this is taken from a study from Harvard. Okay? And she quotes him as saying, I do think it makes a difference and can be very powerful practice, he says. Even on those bad days where life seems difficult, that effort is worthwhile. How can the power of gratitude affect our lives? Recent research has pointed to gratitude's myriad positive health effects, including greater emotional and social well-being, better sleep quality, lower depression risks, and favorable markers of cardiovascular health. I'm going to repeat that to you. Gratitude. Recent research has pointed to gratitude's myriad positive health effects, including greater emotional and social well-being, better sleep quality, lower depression risks, and favorable markers of cardiovascular health. Now I'm going to return to what I said to you earlier. I'm going to keep going with this report, but God always tells us to, or urges us to, do things because they are good for us. Gratitude is good for us. It's healing. It's renewing. It's amazing what gratitude can do for us. And he goes on to say, published in July of 2024 in JAMA Psychiatry, the new study drew on data from almost 50,000 women enrolled in Nurses Health Study. Their average age was 79. And in 2016, participants completed a 6-item gratitude questionnaire in which they ranked their agreement with statements such as, I have so much in life to be thankful for, and if I had to list everything I felt grateful for, it would be a very long list. 4 years later, researchers combed through participants' medical records to determine who had died. There were 4,600 deaths from all causes, as well as from specific causes such as cardiovascular disease, cancer, respiratory diseases, neurodegenerative disease, etc., infections, injuries, deaths from cardiovascular disease, a top killer of women and men in the United States, were the most common. So what did the researchers find? Participants with gratitude scores in the highest third at the study start had a 9% lower risk of dying over the following 4 years than participants who scored in the bottom third. This did not change after controlling for physical health, economic circumstances, and other aspects of mental health and well-being. Gratitude. seem to help protect participants from every cause of death study, including cardiovascular disease. So what does that actually mean? A 9% reduction in mortality risk is meaningful, but not huge. Vanderbilt says, but what's remarkable about gratitude is that just about anyone can practice it. Anyone can recognize what's around them and express thanks to others for what's good in their life and to God. I'm adding that. While the study couldn't pinpoint why gratitude is associated with longer life, Vanderbilt believes several factors may contribute. We know that gratitude makes people feel happier. That in itself has a small effect on mortality risk. Practicing gratitude may also make someone a bit more motivated to take care of their health. Maybe they're more likely to show up for medical appointments or exercise. It may also help with, relationships and social support, which we know contributes to health. Harvard is telling us that, okay, maybe you're still going to die from cardiovascular disease. Now, if you're a grateful person, there's a 9% factor that you will live longer than others with cardiovascular episodes. But it makes life better in every other way. It helps with depression. It says emotional and social well-being, better sleep quality, lower depression risks, favorable markers of the cardiovascular health. And so I'm going to leave you with 6 questions to help you become more grateful. Not feeling especially grateful today, the article says, focus on what happened today that was good. Ask yourself, what am I taking for granted that I should be thankful for from others and from God? Which people in my life am I grateful for? What is the last book I read or movie, show, or social media clip that I saw that I really appreciated and why? What am I most looking forward to this week, month, year, and why? What is the kindest thing someone has said or done for me lately? Okay, so a few simple actions can infuse gratitude into your days. Try Vanderbilt's family routine of regularly expressing gratitude around the dinner table. Another well-known practice that's perhaps become forgotten in this digital age is sending a thank you note or a card. Anyway, I have to go. Until we're together again, I'm praying for you. Please pray for me. Happy, happy Thanksgiving. God bless you and your family. And please pray for the In His Sign Catholic Network. God bless you. See you in a couple of weeks. Bye-bye.